Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
And there are certain parts of our mind that can really help us to realize our full potential. And the one I wanted to look at in particular is a mind called aspiration. It's one of the first minds that is explained. So it says this is also a neutral mental factor because it can be either negative, neutral, or positive. It says, definition of aspiration is a mental factor that focuses on a desired object and takes an interest in it. So aspiration, desire, and wish are synonyms. What are we desiring? What are we wishing for? This is important because what we wish for is going to determine to what extent we utilize our full potential. We have the potential for incredible things, but the extent to which we accomplish that will depend upon what we're wishing for, won't it? And it's kind of obvious, isn't it? Because what we wish for is going to determine where we put our energy and our effort. So it is quite helpful to take a little bit of a little look at our wishes. That's what we're going to look at today. And just to see, are they lining up? With really lining up with who we want to be. And because sometimes we have these kind of conflicting wishes. And like maybe we think, yeah, I want to be a really spiritual person. But then there's another wish that's like, I really want to go shopping. And that's okay, you're allowed to go shopping. But it's like if you're going shopping all the time, you might not have any time for your spiritual practice. Or you're like, oh, I want to be my aspiration is to have really good relationships with people, but I also want to be right all the time. There might be a little bit of a clash there. Or I want to get my own way all the time. Or I want to tell people how annoying they are. And this could get in the way of having really harmonious relationships. So it says, the main function of aspiration, which is a very fancy way of saying wish, is to induce effort, give rise to effort. And effort is another word for energy, giving energy to things. So this again can be helpful to just check, well, where am I putting my energy in life? Because that will tell us a little bit about our aspirations. Sometimes our aspirations are a little bit hidden or we've kind of fallen into them. Because that's the normal, normal life told us to aspire for this, get a degree, get a job, get a house, get a car, get a partner, have children, have holidays. Yeah? This is what society tells us, isn't it? These are like the normal aspirations. And then sometimes it says, now you need to get two cars. Now you need to get two houses. Now you need to have a better phone, a nicer couch, a different hairstyle. So a lot of our aspirations are actually around material things. And that's because we live in a very material age. So if we want to emphasize improving our own inner world, our human nature and qualities, then we need to think a little bit what our aspirations are so that we can put some energy behind that transformation. The more energy you put behind something, the easier it becomes. So one of the reasons that our spiritual practice can seem so difficult is because our ordinary aspirations are kind of like pulling us in a different direction. And there's very little energy for this spiritual work. And so it's almost like there's a sort of tidal wave pulling you in another direction. and you're trying to swim against, you know, if you swim against a current, it's very hard, isn't it? They're very, very difficult to make any headway because you're being pulled back. So that's like our attachment to all these ordinary things is often pulling us, dragging us down. And spiritually, it's like we're trying to go in another direction. So the clearer we can get with our aspirations, the more energy that we will naturally have behind those aspirations. And we're not saying that we give up all of our ordinary life, but we just need to check, am I making enough time for this inner development? And we need to check, you know, what's the goal? What's the destination? We need to think about that. And actually, we are thinking about that often in the classes because we all want to be happy and free from suffering, basically, don't we? Yeah, that's an aspiration. I want to be happy. I want to be free from suffering. Want, it's an aspiration. I wish to be happy. I wish to be free from suffering. So we need to check if the ordinary goals are producing what we're wishing for. Because that's what we've been putting all our energy into for a long time. So it should be producing happiness and reducing suffering. So if we check and we think, I put a lot of energy into this and this and this, it doesn't produce happiness. Then we can think, that will just naturally give us a little bit more energy. Okay, I need to try something else. I need to try a different technique. I need to find happiness from a different source, or see if I can find happiness from a different source. And then we will start to have these aspirations that prioritize other things. And then we see, do they bring the goal? Are they actually bringing peace and happiness and a reduction of suffering? And if we see that they are, then it reinforces, doesn't it? It's like, it does. Yeah, I found happiness where I never expected, in contentment, and not in having all these material things. Okay, so let's increase the cause. What happens if I have more contentment? Yeah, and less attachment. What happens if I meditate more? And in this way, we can go in a very good direction. So the main function of aspiration or wish is to induce effort. For example, if we lack the aspiration to receive teachings or to meditate, we will put no effort into these activities. So plenty of people don't have this aspiration, do they? All tasks, whether worldly or spiritual, must be preceded by aspiration if we are to apply ourselves to them. So it's a big part of our motivation, isn't it? If we're not strongly motivated, then it's really difficult to apply yourself, isn't it? With any kind of consistency. The success of our actions depends upon how much effort we put into them. And the stronger our aspiration, the stronger our effort will be. If our aspiration is weak, our effort will also be weak. And if we completely lack aspiration, we will do nothing at all. So you can see sometimes when people get very depressed, then they lack all aspiration, can't even look after themselves. So this is what we would call like a kind of dependent relationship. You can trace it back. You're like, if I'm not meeting with success, it's because I'm lacking effort. If I'm lacking effort, it means I'm not applying myself. If I'm not applying myself, it's because I lack that aspiration. So we trace back, and that's really helpful because then all we need to do is change our aspiration. And then you can go in the other direction, change your aspiration, you'll start to apply yourself to give effort. With effort, you'll start to meet success in whatever it is. I mean, obviously, here we're mainly focusing on spiritual things. So it says it's most important to cultivate appropriate aspirations. This is why with many of the meditations, for example, if you look in the meditation handbook, at the beginning of each meditation, it talks about the benefits of that meditation. This is also how advertising works. If you think about it, advertising is telling us the benefits. And then we develop an aspiration. It wants to induce an aspiration in our mind. Otherwise, they've wasted their money. And in fact, it doesn't just want to induce an aspiration. It wants to induce effort because they've still wasted their money if we don't actually go out and get the thing. So same process, but here we make it much more meaningful. It's like spiritual things. If I really aspire to have more patience and less anger because I understand the benefits, then I will have effort to have more patience and less anger. I will do the meditations and I will put it into practice in my daily life. And the same is true of every other meditation. So this specific part of the mind is really important. Actually, a lot of our meditations are just aspirations. I wish I could be able to love everyone. Yeah. I wish to take the essence of my human life and make it meaningful. It's aspiration. And the reason we meditate on aspirations is because then the effort will arise naturally. I feel like a big part of my job here at the center is just being a kind of cheerleader, you know, trying to get the aspirations going and keep them going. Yeah, because people do fall off. Yeah, so ultimately, you need to be your own cheerleader. You need to find that aspiration in your own mind that leads to, ideally, a very steady, consistent effort. Yeah, we want a long-term approach. Now, we want to never give up, no matter how hard it is. Now, so we want our effort to be kind of indestructible because our aspiration is so clear and we're so determined. So whenever we want to accomplish something, especially spiritual transformation, we can think about the benefits and we can think about the faults of not accomplishing it. Okay, I stay with a mind that's out of control and unhappy, angry, irritated, uptight, whatever it is. That's a disadvantage. I stay with these painful feelings and so on. So I hope that makes some sense. So our aspirations can be virtuous, non-virtuous, or neutral. A non-virtuous aspiration would be like, I want to steal all the money. Yeah, that's non-virtuous. Plenty of people have non-virtuous aspirations. I'm plotting my revenge or something, you know, I'm wanting to harm. And actually, I mean, you see this with, I remember there was a terrorist attack in Norway, and I remember being horrified because the attacker said in court that he meditated on what he was going to do. And I was like, oh no, you know, you just set back meditation. But he meant that mentally he went over and over it. Now, I think that you can actually be prosecuted for things like that. I mean, he'd actually done it, but that going over and over something in your mind, you know, it's recognized that that is taking that. If someone does it enough, that they are going to actually do it. And so people can be prosecuted for that kind of process mentally, especially if they've taken a few steps that would be going in that direction. So we want to avoid the non-virtuous aspirations and we want to develop very positive aspirations. And it says here, every sentient being or every living being develops many aspirations each day. You know, like I want to eat, I want to rest, I want a cup of tea, lots of aspirations. But they are all included within either the aspiration to obtain happiness or the aspiration to be free from unhappiness. It's interesting, isn't it? You can put them all into that. Having a shower. I want the happiness of having a shower. I want to be free from the unhappiness of being smelly. You know, or being socially unacceptable. So you can put everything into that. So then we need to think, like, have we found a way to fulfill our aspirations? And it says here, the difference between a wise person and a foolish person is his or her aspirations. What are we wishing for? What are we longing for? Where are we putting our efforts? I saw an advert recently. It was for a TV, and it was saying something to the effect that you're going to spend half your life watching this, so you better get a good one. And, you know, I would be a bit ashamed of that, admitting to that. But maybe for some people, that is a big part of their aspiration, is entertainment, isn't it? Just entertainment. They're living for that entertainment. So we can do better than that. You know, we can aspire to more meaningful things. Like, what kind of person am I going to be? What kind of good am I going to bring into the world within this short life that I have? And so on. These are wiser aspirations. So just being intelligent is not enough, because we have many intelligent criminals. So if what we're wishing for is not good, then this is a sign that we don't possess true wisdom. But if we have good wishes, we can be confident. Those good wishes will definitely bring good results eventually. They will take us in a good direction. So it says, basically, spiritual practice or Dharma practice is quite simple, because all we need to do is to receive correct teachings by listening to qualified teachings or reading authentic books, and then mix our mind with the teachings by meditating on them. Whenever we listen to teachings or read Dharma books, we should develop a correct aspiration. Yeah, so you could actually think, any class you come to, you can think, well, what am I taking away? It's good to take away a determination, a wish. Now, when I read something, let it move your mind in correct, you know, ways, aspirations. And then we try to maintain the aspiration. So we need to cultivate virtuous aspirations, such as the wish to take the essence of our human life. Or the deepest aspiration that we can have is the aspiration to become a Buddha, you know, a fully enlightened being, to completely eradicate all our negative states of mind, to develop every positive state of mind to perfection. And that's the definition of a Buddha, which is why I saved the liberating prayer for the end. So training in this way, meditating on these aspirations continuously, eventually they will arise spontaneously in our mind. So the main cause of attaining enlightenment, do you know what it is? It is the wish to be enlightened. It actually has a special word, that wish, bodhicitta. It's explained in this book. Bodhicitta is a mind wishing to be enlightened. The reason that is the main cause is because then with that wish to be enlightened, we engage in all our actions, and those actions then are motivated by the wish to be enlightened, so they create the karma for enlightenment, actually. If our wishes are selfish, then we create selfish karma, and it will ripen probably a suffering. But if our wish is to be enlightened for the benefit of others, then all of our actions with that motivation become causes of enlightenment. That's how karma works. And it means that they will bring their effect until we are enlightened. So just in conclusion, in Eight Steps to Happiness, which is a bit of an easier book to begin with, on page 49 in the chapter Learning to Cherish Others, it asks some questions. So you can ask yourself these questions. So first of all, it says, what is the ultimate supreme goal of human life? Yeah, what is the goal? And we need to think, what is my goal? Yeah, what is the ultimate goal of my life? We should have one, actually. Yeah, sometimes we forget to have a goal. So we should ask ourselves, so the way to check is by checking our aspirations. So we should ask ourselves what we consider to be most important. What do we wish for, strive for, or daydream about? So we have to be really honest here, because this is like an honest self-examination. What are we wishing for, striving for, or daydreaming about? For some people, it is material possessions, such as a large house with the latest luxuries, a fast car, or a well-paid job. For others, it is reputation. Oh, I want to be the best Buddhist nun in the tradition. I want a certain position. You be careful. They can catch you. They can catch you. Think, oh, I've given up material things, but other ones can catch you. Other worldly concerns. Good looks, power, excitement, or adventure. Many people try to find the meaning of their life in relationships with their family and circle of friends. All these things can make us superficially happy for a short while, but they can also cause us much worry and suffering. They can never give us the pure, everlasting happiness that all of us, in our heart of hearts, long for. That deep, deep aspiration. So since we can't take them with us when we die, if we've made the principal meaning of our life, if we've made them the principal meaning of our life, they will eventually let us down. As an end in themselves, worldly attainments are hollow. They are not the real meaning of human life. Okay, so then a bit later on it says, the only thing that will never deceive us is the attainment of full enlightenment. It's only by attaining enlightenment that we can fulfill our deepest wish for pure and lasting happiness. For nothing in this impure world has the power to fulfill this wish. Only when we become a fully enlightened Buddha will we experience the profound and lasting peace that comes from a permanent cessation of all delusions and their imprints. We will be free from all faults and mental obscurations, and we will possess the qualities needed to help all living beings directly. And there's more. But through all of this, we see that the attainment of enlightenment is the ultimate supreme goal. So it might seem like it's far off right now, but there's a spectrum, isn't there, between here and enlightenment. And we want to be going in that direction. So it is, don't worry about it, just, it's a wonderful goal to have, actually. Just think, like, that's where I'm aiming. Yeah, that's the ultimate goal. I want to be a pure being. And I want to help everybody else to do the same. I want to get free from these crazy delusions and help everybody else to do the same. If you have that goal in mind, it will never deceive you. And of course, along the way, we become a better and better person. That brings great meaning and happiness into our life. So there's a lot more, but basically, as it says here, each and every living being has within them the seed or potential to become a Buddha. So we're never going to realize that full potential if we're not wishing for it. So this can be a very private wish. You don't need to tell anyone else about it. They might think you're bonkers. Yeah, but privately, you're like, we can wish for it. Actually, it's not so far away. For example, when we die and the mind gathers in, that's a moment where you can attain enlightenment, right there. We can attain enlightenment before death if we put effort in. We'll never put that effort in unless we have the wish. And we can remember that even if it feels like it's this impossible thing, for as long as I have that wish to attain enlightenment and I engage in positive actions, I'm creating karma for it. There's a big difference, like, between giving a pound to a beggar, just ordinarily, and giving a pound to a beggar and thinking, may this be a cause of enlightenment. Now, we've just created the karma for enlightenment. The other one, we've just created the karma of generosity, and we will receive some small benefit.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.